Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. It's Fantasy Sports Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz with you for the next 2 hours. Getting ready for week two in the NFL season. Lots to talk about, lots of injury reports coming in on Friday, some more probably coming in today as well. George, how was your work week, and are you ready for some NFL football?
How was my work week? Well, the work week was the work week, you know.
It's still going.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, for me, I was just complaining to Sean, the Sean Aguilar producer, that I reffed four games last night, and I almost immediately after this show, we're reffing six more hockey games this afternoon. So I'm going to be unconscious tonight and probably half zombie waiting for week two tomorrow.
Well, make sure you're setting those lineups before you go full zombie. You don't want to have those issues on Sunday morning.
I'm actually one of those guys, Dan. I set my lineups on Tuesday. I'm not saying I won't change them, of course. But the first thing I do when I check things on Tuesday is I set a lineup. This way, in case things go wrong, you know, you never know what's going to happen during the week, or on the weekend you get really busy. I have kids, they could go crazy. Who the hell knows? But at least I know I set an initial lineup. You know, yes, I do tweak it during the week. I'm not saying I never look back. Of course I do. But at least I know at one point I set an initial lineup. Because I know in a home league I play in, a friend of mine was complaining that he forgot to put in AJ Green. My first question is, why was AJ Green even out of your lineup?
Yeah.
He didn't start in week one? You know, so how was he out of your lineup? But after that, I told him, listen, you had 3 days. I know it's a Thursday game, but you had Tuesday, Wednesday, and half a Thursday to do this. Just set your line, set an initial lineup immediately on Tuesday. I'm sure you checked your standings to see if you won the matchup. So set a lineup, and you go on from there. This way you know the stars were in. You know, but like I said, that was my first question. He didn't have an answer for it. Maybe he did it by accident. I don't know. But why was AJ Green even out of your lineup?
Yeah, maybe he's a tinkerer. Maybe once the games ended, he started moving people around just to see, you know, what where the chairs were on the deck of the Titanic if he lost, and just tried to figure
out. I guess.
Maybe some motivation.
As good a reason as any other.
Maybe his motivation. He felt like AJ Green didn't perform in week one. He wanted to send a message. You know, he posted some
bulletin board material. Do you do things like that? Your fantasy team is playing bad. That's it. I'm releasing this guy. They need a spark.
Exactly. They need a spark. Come on, George. You know we have that influence. It's like yelling at the TV when you're watching sports. They hear us. They definitely hear us. No. Of course, it would be strange to not have AJ Green there. I do have some friends who bench their entire team every week just for fun, just to screw with their opponents' heads and make them worry that they're not going to set their lineup. But that's a story for a different time. We have lots to cover here today. As I said, there were a number of injuries, still some injury designations we're waiting for clarity on as we head into Sunday. Obviously, one of the biggest ones being Ben Roethlisberger. We believe he will play. No sign saying that he won't, but there is a bruised elbow to talk about there. I do want to talk about some of this line movement as well across some of these contests heading into Sunday, what that could be indicative of as we get ready for kickoff on Sunday morning. And let's talk here, George, about Thursday night quickly. We talk about A.J. Green, a big performance from Andy Dalton and A.J. Green, but it still felt like a bit of a sloppy game. This is a contest that, again, a big win for the Cincinnati Bengals, 34-23. It was a somewhat contested second and fourth quarter, but the Bengals won the first. They went up 14-0 and didn't look back from there. And you have the discussion around Alex Collins and Buck Allen, and you have the injury to Joe Mixon. Lots to discuss here. I don't know what you think the biggest storyline is coming out of Thursday Night Football, but looking back, is it the Mixon injury, or is it the sort of the overreaction to what happened with the one TD for Buck Allen and everyone being upset Alex Collins only got nine carries?
I'm going to go with the Mixon injury. You know, he's out. And they're saying 2 weeks. That's being highly optimistic that he's only going to miss 2 weeks. You know, I know they get the extra 3 days because it's the Thursday game. And maybe he only misses week three and week four. I'm wondering more if he won't see him until around Halloween. Maybe it's 4 to 6 weeks with this kind of injury here. So I think it has to be the Mixon injury for me. He was a strong running back too. You know, and now he's gone for a little bit. Gio Bernard now gets elevated. I don't know if he gets elevated to running back one status. He gets running NFL running back one. But as far as fantasy is concerned, he's now a mid-range running back two, so he becomes valuable. And I know people have been running, playing him up. And, oh, we'll run to the waiver wire. Man, I don't know what league you're playing in, but Gio Bernard's already gone in every league I'm in. He's not available. Luckily for me, I have him in a couple of leagues, so I'll have some benefit there. But you're not going to be running to the waiver wire to get Giovanni Bernard in most leagues, especially PPR ones, because he had value coming in. So I don't know how much it's going to help fantasy owners. I worry more about the injury to Mixon. Once again, another running back taken off the board.
Yep, absolutely. And looking at Cincinnati's next couple of weeks, you get at Carolina, at Atlanta, and then you have Miami and Pittsburgh if he were to be out that much longer. Speaking of Joe Mixon and what sort of upside Gio Bernard has there, you know, that's Carolina defense that has been pretty good against the rush. Last year was fifth, according to Football Outsiders DVOA. You know, he is more known for pass catching. We can look into those stats as well. So, as George said, typical league, you're probably not going to see him on the waiver wire. If you're in a 10-team league, pick him up. Yeah, obviously, whatever kind of league you're in, you want to be cognizant of who's on the waiver wire, who's available. But it does seem like a situation where you don't want to go spending too much money on a fab bid for someone like Gio Bernard. If, hey, you know, injuries can last longer. If you want to take that risk on, then you might get him for 4 weeks rather than two. But it does seem like this will be a short-term rental with obvious potential upside as the season goes on if Mixon were to get re-injured, or, of course, if Bernard were just to have a breakout game or two, which we haven't seen as of yet, so I don't expect to have it happen now. You know, I thought it was funny. I don't know how many of our listeners are on Twitter, but Twitter overreactions are some of my favorite things to do with fantasy sports. As you said, everyone shouting to run to the waiver wire and get Gio Bernard. Everyone freaking out about the Alex Collins, Buck Allen situation. I'm not surprised here. Nothing that happened on Thursday's game surprised me from the Baltimore backfield. I guess the 9 carries for Collins is disconcerting, but they were down. Nothing about it surprised me. Were you surprised by this? Was this something that you were shocked by because of the way ADP went and the way people were drafting? Or is this just part of this Baltimore offense and part of what is, again, it maybe not be a direct running back by committee, but they're going to use Allen. They're going to use both backs from time to time. What do you make of the Baltimore backfield?
Well, I think, once again, you know, I write two columns. Well, it'll be 3 columns. Right now, I'm writing 2 NFL columns a week for Roto Experts. And the headline, or the opening, as we call it in both columns, was about patience. How fantasy owners can't overreact. I've seen in some leagues, not ones I play in, mind you, but leagues I've heard people telling me when they ask questions, that Deshaun Watson was released after week one. I mean, it's like, wow, that's a pretty short fuse.
Yep.
That you're already releasing people like that. You need to relax. Okay? I mean, Alex Collins was a low-end RB2 coming in. Yeah, still, it's what he is now. Keep in mind, for game one, they blew the doors off Buffalo. So they were playing a different type of game from that point forward. They weren't going to overuse their players, didn't need to. Game two, they were down pretty much after the national anthem. You know, so the A.J. Green scoring touchdowns left and right. You know, so they weren't going to be able to run the ball anymore. Now they're going to have to throw. So it just took both games, we have not seen the true Ravens offense yet. You know, we just haven't seen it. You know, it'll probably get back to normal from week 3. I don't think they're going to keep playing blowouts one way or the other. So I think now's the time to pounce on Alex Collins. And what I mean by that is you can probably buy low. I think the Alex Collins owners probably getting a little fed up. Maybe even think about releasing him. This wouldn't shock me at all. Like I said, if I had a choice right now between Allen or Collins, I still want Collins. I think Allen has value, mind you. And Kenneth Dixon, who had a bunch of carries in week one, he's on IR. He's done. So, yeah, I'm still buying Collins. Fantasy owners, relax. I understand Collins has been disappointing the first couple of weeks. I understand that. but it's just been more gameplay, how the game has been played the first couple of weeks. It's not going to keep going on. I'll buy Collins.
George is doing a great job of not using the phrase that I've become so angered by over the past 2 years in DFS, which is game script, where everyone seems to think that everything is part of game script. But here's exactly right. Like, the game context, and which George has preached before here, like, context is king. And you can't just look at the box score for a Collins or for these running backs and say, oh, he's not performing. Rightly points out, first game blowout, second game they were behind right away. So, yeah, that can continue to be a pattern. Don't get me wrong. The Ravens can continue to be in these extremes where Collins doesn't get as many carries as he should. But the way you should project it is that there's a norm. There's more games that are in the middle, in the median, and that's who the back you drafted. And to George's point, you weren't drafting him as an RB1. Like, the people flipping out on Twitter made it sound as though either they were saying he was a top 12 back and how dare the Ravens treat him this way, or on the other side, hey, I told you he was going to be a bust. He's neither. He is what he is, and there are going to be weeks where he performs and weeks where he doesn't because he was a low-end RB2 off the board. So I think great analysis there from George. Lots of injuries here, George, and lots of questionable tags. Now, I get it. Football is a brutal sport, and we had a lot of injuries in the preseason, but to get so many questionables heading into week two, Aaron Rodgers, you talk about Ben Roethlisberger, Devontae Adams was listed as questionable. You get the Joe Mixon injury. You have Marshawn Lynch was dealing with a shoulder injury. Burkhead, Sony Michel are both questionable heading into Sunday. Of all of the injuries, if you are looking at it from a top-level macro perspective and you're just looking across the league, which one are you most concerned about? Is it the Roethlisberger with the bruised elbow? I think Rodgers with the knee probably jumps to the top of my list just because of what kind of quarterback he is and how creative he is out of the pocket. What injury heading into week two has your eye and is most concerning to you for those who have them on their roster?
Hey, Ben is he plays this up. He does this every damn year with injuries. You know, he's always crying that he's hurt, and he's an attention grabber. He wants attention.
Well, he also wanted a reason why he didn't play well in week one. Like, that's, yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing. It's what he wants. You know, so he'll play. No, I'm not worried about Ben. And Ben starts this week. I mean, he's generally not a quarterback one, but he starts against KC at home. That'll be another shootout. At least I expect it to be a shootout. So I'm not worried about Ben. Aaron Rodgers, I truly expect to play, but I think as a fantasy owner, you should probably hope he doesn't. This is not a great matchup. And I know that goes crazy to say Aaron Rodgers, you don't want him to play, because I think that it would just make your decision easier, and that's sitting him. This is not a good matchup at all. It's against Minnesota. This is the team that put him out last year with the broken collarbone. It has nothing to do with the broken collarbone, but they're a very good defense, maybe the best in the NFC, maybe the best in football, and the Packers just don't match up well. Xavier Rhodes will be on Devontae Adams. He'll shut him down. I don't know if Geronimo Allison or Jimmy Graham or anybody else up to the task of moving the football here. They're not going to be able to run the ball with Jamal Williams. So I think the Packers are it's going to be a rough game for them. Might be a low-scoring game, but it's going to be a rough game for the Packers here. And I think if I don't own Aaron Rodgers in any league, you know, not even a two-quarterback league because, God forbid, I would really, really, I think it would have made my decision easier. Like I said, if he would have been out this game, this way he could have gone with the other quarterback you have. Depending on who it has. I'm not saying I'm going down to, Ryan Fitzpatrick over Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to do that. But I'd have been okay with a lot of other quarterbacks over Aaron Rodgers this week. He's barely in my top 10 at quarterback. And it's just because I can't rank certain guys over. I can't rank a Matthew Stafford over him. Even though I think Stafford's going to have a better game. You know, Russell Wilson, I think, is in trouble as well this week. I can't rank Matt Ryan over him. You know, guys like that. But Aaron Rodgers plays, Ben plays, and you're probably forced to start. Because this is what I'll tell any fantasy owner who asks me about Aaron Rodgers. Would I like to sit him? Yes. Would I like to start the other guy on your roster? In most cases, yes. But are you the type of owner who's going to bang your head against the ceiling or bang your head against the desk, the wall, all week long if Rodgers throws 4 touchdown passes? If you are, because you made the switch, then start Aaron Rodgers. Start your best players. Don't get cute. But if you're willing to gamble a little bit, I'll play the odds here. And the odds do say your second quarterback, whoever that might be, is probably going to have a better game, better matchup, then I'd go in that direction.
Yeah, I it's a tough one. Sitting Aaron Rodgers any week is a tough decision, but the injury plus the matchup does sort of add up to be enough there to warrant consideration. I will also point out Devonta Freeman out. We'll talk about Tevin Coleman later on. Obviously, he gets inserted in season-long leagues. Do want to point out some major movement in the Kansas City-Pittsburgh line since it opened. So Pittsburgh opened at 27.5. They're up to 29.5. Kansas City opened at 22.5. They're at 24.5 at the lines I'm looking at. The line opened at, depending on where you look, -5, -4.5. I know over on mybookie.ag, it's -4.5 right now with Pittsburgh at -210. Money line favorite and an over-under, Georgia, 53.5. So Vegas is thinking there's going to be a ton of scoring here as well. This is a target for DFS we'll talk about later as well. I'm hoping Ben's in there because a little pure Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown action here is what I'm betting on from a DFS perspective. I don't know if this over is going to hit. I don't know if Kansas City's going to play well here. I feel like this is a 3 or 4 interception game for Patrick Mahomes trying to force stuff. But we'll talk about that when we go through a game-by-game breakdown. We'll talk about each of these games individually, make sure we give you our takes on each, talk about some of these lines and see where movement has been, and, of course, give you top plays for daily fantasy as we go through. So, plenty to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz. We'll open up the phone lines in hour number two. As always, you can tweet at us at FNTSY Radio. Again, at FNTSY Radio, at Dan Schaffer, at George Kurtz. We'll be back with more breaking down week two of the NFL season right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Well, friends, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. This past Sunday, another DailyRoto.com subscriber won $1 million playing daily fantasy football. That makes $7 million winners. Yes, you heard that right. 7 DailyRoto.com subscribers have won $1 million. Head on over to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium and find out how you can party with our successful community of daily fantasy players. And if it's sports wagering you're into, click on Sports Betting tab or go to DailyRoto.com/betting, where you'll be able to use the same totals and algorithms for money line picks, picks against the spread, game totals, and use of a player props tool that can now be turned loose to forecast spectacular game performances that you can now capitalize on without having to worry about salary caps. That's DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium, the industry website where millionaires are made, literally. Big fans of Drew Dinkmeyer and Mike Leone over there at DailyRoto.com, so be sure to check them out. They are also more than available on Twitter if you want to go seek them out. To ask more questions, but a great resource in the daily fantasy world and obviously now in the betting world as well. George, we look towards week number two. What game are you most excited about? Which game are you most looking forward to sitting down in front of and enjoying on Sunday?
Yeah, it's funny. I always look at the schedule and I determine just that for each slate, the 1 o'clock slate, the 4 o'clock slate. The 1 o'clock slate, I mean, the Green Bay-Minnesota game does stick out. That battle in the AFC North, I do want to see that. I think from a fantasy viewpoint, though, you mentioned the Pittsburgh-KC game. I do think points will be put on the board, but you said something that I agree with, that I think Mahomes might struggle. It's on the road in Pittsburgh, not an easy place to play. But how about Cleveland-New Orleans as well? You know, New Orleans, people forget, New Orleans scored 40 points last week. They lost, but they scored 40 points last week. Cleveland had a decent game. Yeah, now it's played in the slog of that rainstorm in Cleveland. So let's see what's going to happen here. And the early slate, that's the game I'm looking forward to. The afternoon slate, it has to be Jacksonville, New England, right? I mean, I keep saying it. Jalen Ramsey keeps talking the talk. He walked the walk last week. Maybe he does it again. Rob Gronkowski isn't all that great now, according to Jalen. So, that should be an interesting game. It's going to be 90 degrees, a little warm tomorrow in Jacksonville.
Wait, was his comment, was he the one who was saying that if Gronk was covered by a cornerback,
yes,
he wouldn't succeed? Okay. he's still 6'6". Like, come on, man. Anyway, we'll see how he does. We'll see what the matchups are and who, whether or not he shadows or he gets in the mix against Gronk, or if he talks and then stays away, stays on the outside. Obviously, the Pats working in a lot of different receivers there. And you do have the questionable tags for Burkhead, who had a concussion protocol after the game, wasn't removed from the contest, but did get put into the protocol. And then you have Sonny Michel, who's still dealing with injuries heading into the season. So it could be another James White week, but we'll get to those games. We'll go game by game here. We'll go quickly to make sure we have some time to talk about daily fantasy, talk about some wagers we're looking for, and take your calls in the second hour of today's show. As always, college football coming up after us here. Gabe Morency leading the charge there, along with another cast of characters, getting you set for college football today. Rutgers with a big game at Kansas. If they can't win that one, then they should stop playing football. But Carolina and Atlanta is where we'll start this discussion, George. A game that, you know, if you aren't the biggest NFL fan, you may say, well, Atlanta's offense and Carolina's defense, that's where this is going to be decided. I guess Vegas would primarily agree with you with Atlanta pretty much a -6, -5.5, depending on where you look. 25.25 implied total for them as a team total. Carolina at 19.25. You know, Cam has struggled throwing the ball against this Atlanta defense. I'm not one to necessarily say, you know, games against other team when I'm looking at analysis and trying to figure out who to start and sit. But when there's enough of a sample and when there's enough of the same coach, obviously coaches, schemes, all those things change over the years. This is last five games against Dan Quinn's squads, and Evan Silva wrote up it up in RotoWorld. And if you don't read Evan's column every week, you're missing out. This has been a struggle for Cam. Do you think this is a stay-away week? Do his legs continue to just make him such a safe floor quarterback in DFS and safe floor quarterback in season-long that you don't mind? How do you break down Cam against the Falcons, and what do you think about this game overall?
Well, you know, I always sound like I'm disparaging Cam, which I guess in some ways I am. I'm never starting Cam because of his arm. He's a bad NFL quarterback as far as tradition goes. You know, completing passes, he's always been bad. He has no accuracy. He never doesn't really know where the ball's going. What makes him valuable are his legs. Does that make him safe? Sure, you know he's going to run for 60, 70 yards, might steal a touchdown here or there. That's what he does. You know, but now he lost Greg Olsen, which is in some ways his security blanket. I think really Run CMC is now his security blanket, and Christian McCaffrey. And that's also what helps his completion percentage, all those passes that Christian McCaffrey will get. You know, they ballyhooed all preseason that Christian McCaffrey was going to get, you know, 25 touches a game. You know, listen, that was BS. It always was. If they gave him 25 touches a game, they were going to kill him. Last week it was 16 touches. You know, and he wasn't, you know, it was a so-so game at best for Christian McCaffrey. He did fumble on a goal line carry. So I wonder if that's the last time we'll see that. He's just not built to do that. So, I mean, it's not the greatest matchup for Cam. It's not. History tells us he has problems against Atlanta. But remember, no Deion Jones for Atlanta, no Lorenzo Neal for Atlanta. So they're banged up all of a sudden on that defense, or the Falcons. So I'm not shying away from Cam. He, like I said, if I'm worried about his arm, then I'm probably not thinking right with Cam. You know, it's not where his value lies. Sure, maybe he doesn't throw for 200 yards passing, but that's not what you're drafting for anyway. You're very rarely drafting him to throw 300 yards passing. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. That's not what he does. You know, his value is in those legs, and he's very good at what he does. You know, so no, I haven't changed Cam. He's still a quarterback one for me this week. Not all that worried. But I am curious to see how they're going to move the ball through the air without Greg Olsen. But we have to remember, didn't have Olsen for most of last year. Still move the ball.
Yep, that is entirely true. You do have Devin Funchess as a $4,700 wide receiver against this Atlanta Falcons secondary, which to date, it's 1 week, has performed adequately. We'll look back at 2017 numbers momentarily. On the Atlanta side, you obviously have the discussion around Julio Jones and will he get his in the red zone. We talked about it and you heard about it at the top of the show. Assume this will be another game where Jones does get a ton of targets. Anybody a sit here for you? Like, are there any of the stars? Matt Ryan, maybe not a star, but obviously a fantasy option. I know he struggles sometimes. I'm having some fun with Matt Ryan. It's fine. anybody you're sitting in this matchup, or anybody that you're afraid have a poor one where you think that you might pull the trigger to keep them out of your lineup?
First of all, Mike Blewett's on line one for you for making fun of Matt Ryan. You're not allowed to do that. Yes, Mike Blewett's a big, I think what they went to the same college, I believe, Boston College. Is that why Mike's such a big fan?
That's up in my, yeah, my neck of the woods. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I believe so. Matt Ryan's not a quarterback one this week. He's just barely missing. That's going to be most weeks. You know, that's not a shock there. As for Julio Jones, for everyone who's crying about Julio Jones not catching touchdowns, folks, it's been like this for years. What are you crying about? You weren't drafting him to catch touchdowns. Okay, it's not what he's been doing. They can't do it. For some reason, Ryan can't connect with him in the end zone. It's strange. It's weird. I have no idea why. The man's one of the best receivers in the game. He's a big target, but they can't connect with him in the end zone. I don't think anybody knows why. You know, and Ryan really, you know, he spit the bit last week when it came to throwing the ball into the end zone. Everyone's blaming Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator. Really, I mean, he had, on the first drive, he had Devonta Freeman open. Bad pass. There was another drive, I don't know if it was the game-winning drive or what would have been the game-winning drive or the drive before that. Mohamed Sanu, I mean, I could have completed the pass. Ryan didn't see him in the end zone.
Yep.
All right, so some of this is on Ryan. It's not all, don't get me wrong, it's not all Ryan's fault either. It's a mixture of both. But the plays were there. Ryan didn't make them. But as I said, if you're crying about Julio Jones not catching touchdowns, I mean, are you not paying attention? We said this all during the season, during draft time, that, you know, it hadn't been there of late. So what were you expecting to change here? He's still getting tons of yards, tons of catches. You're okay with Julio Jones. But, yeah, I can see where it's annoying. But, once again, this is a pattern the past couple of years. For Atlanta, you're starting Jones. I think the biggest thing that came out of last week, one, Devonta Freeman's out. So if you have Tevin Coleman, congratulations. You have a running back one.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting this week. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley was barely used last week. Surprising. And they came out and said this week that he will be more incorporated into the game plan. But that becomes now, I'll believe it when I see it. Sanu had a nice game. You know, that's going to keep up. Then he'll be, you know, a flex play wide receiver three some weeks, depending on what else you have on your roster. But his value increases if they're not going to use Ridley all that much.
Yep, I'm a Mohamed Sanu truther. Covered him at Rutgers, so I'm a big fan of his. You talk about Blewett not letting people disparage Matt Ryan. Sanu is a favorite of mine when it comes to DFS and the right matchups, and when he's going to get his target share. He's just somebody who goes and gets the ball. That's not analysis. That's just my heart speaking there from my days covering him at Rutgers. But I think this is a fun matchup. Obviously, down the south, you get these two teams together. There can be some strange things that happen in these contests. So Julio Jones, what's funny, I've looked at numbers. I haven't really, devised a plan to really break them down, but it really seems as though it's double and triple coverage in the red zone. If you're not hitting him from 30 yards plus out and he's taking it to the end zone, it's just such a harder task to get him the ball. And that's not surprising. Your defenses aren't letting Julio Jones beat you. So red zone targets are going to be there, but fitting the ball in there is going to be that much harder. You don't have Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. You have Matt Ryan throwing the ball. So it's going to continue to be probably a frustrating experience for Jones owners who were looking for more TDs. And everybody talks about TD regression and hoping that it finally comes to pass. We can move on to our next game, which is the Colts at Washington. To run down quickly here, the line, as always, trying to look at what one it can tell us from a game perspective, what we can expect, what we can see as a potential game script, but also line movement and the like. Washington Redskins -6 favorites, -255 on the money line, 48.5 over under. So we are expecting, at least Vegas is expecting, some points here as this game progresses. You know, I've never really been a huge Alex Smith fan, but I think he's more than a capable quarterback here, George, and has a matchup that we talked up a great deal in week one as a prime matchup because of all the injuries in the Colts defensive secondary. This seems like a prime spot for these Redskins receivers and, of course, Reed there at tight end to have a big day. Are you targeting this game maybe from a DFS perspective or even from a wagering perspective for a big offensive output for the Washington Redskins?
Oh, I think you have to. Listen, I think we're going to be picking on the Indianapolis Colts most of the season against teams that have any kind of an offense. I know DFS in my main lineup, yeah, I'm starting Alex Smith. I believe I didn't start Jordan Reed. I thought about it last week. I mentioned his line, his amount, his price on DFS was too low. I think it was 3,000. It's up to 5,000 this week. So they've caught on now that he's healthy and playing well again. I believe I may have started Crowder in this game once again. PPR catches there. So yeah, I'm picking on the Colts. You know, and I do that. This is not a good defense, to put it nicely. They're on the road. Washington can score points. They can move the ball. Adrian Peterson actually looked like, once again, an NFL running back last week. So their offense is complete. Am I going to worry about Peterson as the year goes on? Absolutely. And he had 200-yard games last year. And the week after, both, you know, he was terrible. I think it was he ran for 29 and 22 yards offhand. You know, terrible. You know, so that does worry me some up, but this is the Colts we're talking about here. You know, on the road. I expect Washington to win this game. I think they'll cover the 6 on my bookie. I'm not really worried about it. 48.5 for an over-under is a little concerning to me. You know, it's going to be a 27-24 game. I wouldn't touch it personally, but if I had to, I'd probably go the over as well, because I'm not really enthralled with the Washington defense either. So I think points will be put on the board here. I think for Indianapolis, you know, Luck proved he's healthy. You know, so he's a week in and week out starter. You start him. You know, I'm not really all that concerned about him. What I am concerned about is who's going to catch the ball once again besides T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle. I know Eric Ebron had a decent game last week, but he only played a third of the snaps. So I don't know what you're expecting there. Doyle's still the man you want. But, you know, if Josh Norman can shut down T.Y. Hilton, there's really not going to be a lot else to go. That's why I'm worried about the offense, by the way. Because if Josh Norman does take Hilton out of the game, how are the Colts moving the ball?
Yeah, there's not much else there. I can't believe Eric Ebron's still in the league, but good for him. You know, good for him getting a paycheck and doing work each and every Sunday. I'm with you here. I have some dummy lineups over on DK and on FanDuel that start with Alex Smith. You do have word that Paul Richardson's dealing with an AC joint issue. The injury notes from RotoWorld. Richardson is listed as questionable for Sunday's game against Indianapolis, so another questionable tag here. But Jay Gruden did say he wasn't overly concerned about Richardson missing the game. It does seem as though this would be a big spot for Richardson, Crowder, Doxson to have games. Now, you might need to figure out which of the three has the biggest to really hit it big over in daily fantasy sports, but I'd be intrigued to see what Alex Smith's player props are for quarterback. I haven't looked at those yet today to see what they're projecting there from an individual perspective for Smith, and then try to figure out where those are all going as this game goes on. But I'm a huge fan of Alex Smith in this matchup, and I think this is the kind of game when it comes to daily fantasy that you need to be aware of and need to target from a game stack perspective, that if you believe it's going to be a shootout, if you believe they're going over the 48.5, you got to go Smith plus wide receiver, or even Smith plus Reed, and then T.Y. on the other side. Because if the Colts hang in this, T.Y. Hilton's getting his job done. I fully believe that. So if you believe the Colts are staying in this one, it means Hilton's getting his work in. So a game stack there could put you at a pretty low ownership of that stack and move forward. Let's fit in one more game here as we head towards the break momentarily and get takes across each of these contests. Houston and Tennessee up next. George, this is a week where I absolutely love the Texans defense. This is just one where, with the Mariota injury, the talk of Blaine Gabbert possibly getting time here. Please, yes. Please let me see Blaine Gabbert on the field in this contest. Are you on the Texans D, and do you think that Mariota's healthy enough? What are you taking from the coach speak from Vrabel and how this game's breaking down?
Well, first of all, I don't really ever take much from the coach speak. Yep. You know, it's my favorite line. When can you tell a coach is lying? When his lips move.
There it is.
You can't trust it. It is interesting that, what, they're going to start Mariota and Garrett's going to play? What, are they going to be running in plays? It's just weird. If Mariota's healthy enough to play, then he's healthy enough to play. He'll start. Will he finish the game? Who the hell knows? Maybe the elbow does bark up and he can't do it. Mariota was terrible last week. He was terrible. And he got banged around a lot. He left the game with an injury other than the elbow as well. So he was banged up, and Lord knows the game was a cluster with all the rain and the delays. It ended up being a 7-hour game. What a joke. So it had a lot of issues there. So maybe it's not fair. I'm not as worried about Derrick Henry as some people. People, if you didn't watch the game, and unfortunately I did for part of it, he had a 60-yard touchdown run that was called back on a phantom holding call on Delonte Walker. It was one of the worst officiating calls I saw last week. Maybe he met somebody else on the holding and not Walker. But bottom line is, yeah, I'm on the Houston defense as well. I think Tennessee's going to have problems moving the ball if Mariota can't. If he can't throw the ball, they're going to have all sorts of issues.
We will discuss this game a little bit further after the break. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz, coming back after this on FNTSY Radio.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Two princes of fantasy sports right here. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz with you on Fantasy Sports Today, getting you ready for week number two of the NFL season. We're in the tail end of hour number one. We'll open up the phone lines in hour number two for anyone with questions. As always, you can find us over on Twitter at FNTSY Radio or at George Kurtz, at Dan Strapper. If you have questions, happy to read those on the air here and then get to them. Wanted to close out the loop here on this Texans and Tennessee game. It does look like further, you know, George was rapping at the end of the previous segment that he is on the Texans defense, just to solidify that for everybody. It is injuries also on that offensive line for Tennessee. They're without their starting left tackle and right tackle. And I may mention of the potential for both quarterbacks to play. This seems like an amazing, amazing matchup for Clowney and Watt and Marcellus, and it's going to be a good one, I think, from a defensive perspective. And I want to throw out there, they are cheap on DraftKings. Relatively cheap when it comes to defenses. They are just $2,600. So this seems like a prime spot for them to be one of those high-end sacks, pressure, interceptions, all of those things happening. So big fan of that. George, do you have any thoughts here on Juju Smith? This is a guy who obviously sort of rates out from an athleticism perspective, does have hands on the smaller side if you're someone who's into tracking that for receivers. But obviously with Delanie Walker out with the honestly grotesque injury he had last week and unfortunately missing the rest of the season, Smith does step to the fore here as an athletic potential receiver for either Mariota or Gabbert. Can you see a way forward for him being someone worth streaming at the tight end position as we move through the season?
Sure. A streamer, absolutely. If I lost Delanie Walker, I'd probably put a bid on him. If I lost Greg Olsen, I might have put a bid on him, depending on who else was out there on your waiver wire. So I think Smith does have value, yes. The problem is, it's still Mariota throwing him the football. It's still Garrett possibly throwing him the football. So I don't know what you're expecting. Is he going to get the top 12 status by the end of the year now because Delanie Walker's out? I doubt it, so I don't think he'll be a tight end one by season's end. Different kinds of offenses. If we were talking about, he's on an offense that used the tight end more or would use the tight end more in Walker's absence, I'd feel differently. Walker was an unheralded tight end, a good, consistent. We knew what he could do, but we never really talked about the man. He's very good at what he does, so I think Smith takes a little, he's not Delanie Walker. I think he has value. I do. And if I might have put in some, if I needed a tight end, or if I had a weak tight end, or if I lost one of those tight ends, I would have put some money down on him on the waiver wire to pick him up, use some of my fab. So I get it. I do like him, but within reason.
Makes sense. Makes total sense. And I think, all of fantasy sports should be within reason, but I don't know that we have that week over week as we try to set our lineups and decide which way we're going to go. Philadelphia and Tampa Bay is next up. Here's another defense that I'm in on. Eagles more expensive than the Texans on DraftKings, $3,400. Bucks defense, $2,200. And this Buccaneers defense, I believe, listen, Nick Foles is not a good quarterback. I know he won the Super Bowl last year. I know, he's Joe Flacco territory for me. It's just somebody who got hot at the right time. Defense did a great job. Supporting cast of characters were great. And the coach was absolutely fantastic in the playoffs. But this seems like a matchup where a Nelson Agholor should have a big game. The matchup with the Tampa Bay secondary, the injuries they have in that secondary, and it just seems like a spot for them to really, really push Agholor. Obviously, you still have Alshon Jeffrey out, but you talk about, you know, even a Wallace or somebody else who could get some targets here for Philadelphia. Obviously, you throw Zach Ertz into the mix, too, from the tight end spot. This game seems like a pretty easy slam dunk in favor of Philadelphia. I will throw out there, I made mention that Foles is not good, so any given week, he could give you a four-interception outing, and I mean that genuinely, that the variance on his performances can be gigantic. Right now, it's a -3 favorite for Philadelphia from what I'm seeing. 23.5 implied total, 20.5 implied total to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the lower over-under lines of the week at 44. I think this is a pretty easy hammer the Eagles, George. Am I missing something that maybe Foles is not good enough to warrant that sort of confidence in a -3 game?
You know, I always worry when I see a line that looks too easy. You know, because I agree with you. You know, you think about it. I got 3.5, -3.5 for Philadelphia. That seems low. I understand it's a road game, but Philadelphia's also had a couple of extra days. Remember the rest here? They're pretty healthy outside of Carson Wentz. You know, why is this only 3.5? You know, I said it before with Vegas. Generally, they want to get money on both sides. That's why lines are sometimes out of whack. But I would expect much more money to be on Philadelphia here than Tampa Bay. So that line should be higher for that reason. You know, one thing about the other lines that I always follow during the week, not so much because of betting, but because Vegas knows what they're doing, and they have a lot of inside information as well. You know, they have their sources to find out about injury information, who's starting, who's not. And when the line goes one way or the other drastically, that means something happened. I mean, a certain player is playing or he's not playing. You know, they found out some information. And so I always look at that. That didn't happen in this game, but that's a little helpful hint there. When you ever see a line change drastically, it means something happened in the game as far as a player in the game. But this one seems strange to me that it's only 3.5. Listen, I have to go with it. I have no choice. I'm going with Philadelphia. You know, I'm going with the over as well here. I think there'll be points put up on the board here. But mainly because you said earlier, Tampa Bay out their top two cornerbacks. Brent Grimes not going to play. Hargraves are on IR. So I expect a lot of points come from Philadelphia. Not the 40 that New Orleans scored last week. But even when Nick Foles should be able to score 27, 30 points here, I don't think it'll be that much of an issue. I don't trust Foles. I don't trust Fitzpatrick either. Which, by the way, for an over-under, is not always a bad thing. Pick sixes still count. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Fitzpatrick throws one or two. I know he was Fitzmagic last week, played great. But history tells us that doesn't mean the next week he's going to play great. He's done this before, then laid an egg the next week. I don't trust Fitzpatrick at all. DeSean Jackson may or may not play in this game, but I have to like Philly. But I'm betting the over as well. I think points will be put on here. I couldn't agree more with what you said about Nick Foles. You know, I think this man sold his soul to the devil last year. And he played in that playoff. He was terrible at the end of the regular season, then had a magical playoff run. And we've seen that before. Got hot at the right time. But to think he's a good NFL quarterback, he's an average one at best.
Yeah, the NFL is an armchair quarterback league. It's where the phrase obviously comes from. Not breaking any news there. But you really look back at the offseason and wonder if the Eagles could have done much better in trading away Nick Foles for draft picks. And I know Foles is a known commodity, but it's a known bad, like not bad, but average commodity. He's not exceptional. And I think there's a little bit more heart than head when it came to bringing him back. And I know he knows the offense and there's Wentz injury and you worry about that, but it does feel like there are plenty of replacement level quarterbacks who could be guiding this team right now. And they could have gotten some draft equity out of Nick Foles from a team that was needy, you know, from a team that wanted the competition with a Cardinals or, you know, Tampa Bay Bucks when they were dealing with the Winston suspension or wherever it might have been. So that's a story we'll never know the answer to, but I am intrigued by the fact that they held on. I'm a big, as I said, big fan of Agholor in this matchup. No one from the Tampa Bay side really stands out. You made mention of Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mike Evans. Listen, you start your studs, right? But this seems like it could be a pretty down week for Evans. I know DeSean Jackson cleared concussion protocol. Any of the wide receivers at least pique your interest from Tampa Bay, or are you staying away unless obviously starting Evans? I may have lost George there for a second, but we will continue on here. As there's George.
I'm back.
There
I am back.
Fantastic.
I'm starting Evans this week. You know, yeah. Unless you have three or four wide receivers on your roster better than Evans, I mean, hey, God bless if you do. And it's possible. Right. You know, receivers deep, you might, but I have to start him. I don't love the matchup either. But I'll say this. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball that well, so they're going to have to put the ball in the air. So the opportunities will be there at the very least. And, you know, as far as the Eagles are concerned, their secondary is the weakest part of that defense. Not that it's weak, but it's the weakest part of the defense. So I think Mike Evans will get you a good day. I'm not really all that worried about Evans. DeSean Jackson, I might have thought about it if he was completely healthy, but with the in the concussion protocol, he's out. Out of the concussion protocol, he'll play the game. I believe he'll play anyway. Shoulder injury as well. Yeah, that's enough for me to stay away. I did start him in multiple leagues last week. I liked. I needed him actually more than I liked him, so that worked out well for me. Chris Godwin, I'm not going to go down that low, even though I like Godwin overall, but no, I can't do him. And the tight end situation isn't any clearer. I mean, it isn't any clearer. Last week, Fitzpatrick, not that they used either one all that much, but it was Howard more than Brate. You know, Howard was the guy who got the throws there. So, once again, if you had to go down that low, you know, once again, you lost Olsen, you lost Walker. There's no one else out there to grab. Those are the only two choices. I'd have to go Howard over Brate.
Yep, right there with you. Don't love a ton here, but as you point out, Mike Evans is a stud, and you start your studs unless you've somehow drafted enough to get by. Let's go to Kansas City, Pittsburgh next. This is a game you will see tons of in Daily Fantasy. It has your highest over-under total on the week at, I'm seeing now, 53.5, -4.5 favorites for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, this is that game, George, and we talked about Roethlisberger at the top. We've talked a bit about this game already with Mahomes. Don't want to belabor it, but there should be a ton of points here. The over is somewhat enticing here, even at 53.5, just because this seems like the environment where Mahomes is going to throw a ton. I do think there'll be interceptions to be had, but they're going to throw, you know, Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, even throw in, you know, Smith-Schuster and Connor. There's a lot of offense to be had here. How do you see this game breaking down?
I still think that over is high, though, because, I mean, even if the Steelers 31, 34 points, you still need three touchdowns from Kansas City. And I wonder if they struggle a little bit on the road here, if Mahomes does struggle. You know, the kid's got a gun. I get it. But I'm a little worried about that over. I don't know if I'm going to be touching that. The -4.5 for Pittsburgh, I kind of like that. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to lose this game at home to Kansas City. I think they can score, but their defense is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. That game last week against Los Angeles would have been a lot closer. I think, what was the stat? The Chargers dropped 114 yards worth of passes and two touchdowns. You know, so that doesn't happen. Be a lot more
intriguing.
Travis
Benjamin
there.
Had two big throws, for sure.
Catch the ball, man. Awful. All right, anyway, back to this game. You're starting James Conner. Antonio Brown, I'm starting in DFS, and I rarely start Browns. I don't like paying – I rarely like paying the $9,000 price tag, but I expect them to go off in this game. So I'm starting Brown, Smith, Schuster. I mean, you know where Pittsburgh guys go. I think that's pretty simple there. And really, same thing with KC. Hunt will play better this week. You know, no one's talking that Travis Kelce had one reception last week or two, whatever it was. It was a minuscule number in a high-scoring game here, which it was the concern for me this season. We don't know if Mahomes will use Kelce like Alex Smith did. He's got the gun. He wants to put that ball into the secondary. You know, so I was a little concerned about Kelce coming into this year for this reason. That being said, it's the smallest of small sample sizes. It's one game. I'm not panicking yet, but I'm surprised we haven't heard more about this, where fantasy owners are all worried and all, oh my God, Kelce only didn't, you know, wasn't used all that much last week. Tyreek Hill obviously goes. Sammy Watkins is really the guy I probably worry about most. Not the greatest preseason with Mahomes.
Yep.
You know, they're trying to make him, I don't want to say they're changing the type of player he is, but, you know, last year with the Rams, he was the I'm going to run fly patterns, post patterns, take the safety out of the play. That's what he did to open up the middle of the field. You know, this year with Kansas City, they wanted to make him an all-around wide receiver, not just that, because, let's face it, That's what Tyreek Hill does. You know, and you know, last week, 3 receptions, 21 yards. Bottom line is this. I like the matchup. Probably not starting Watkins, though, depending on what else you have on your roster. He's turning into a guy right now, Dan, that I'm going to wait and see. I need him to have a game first before I put him back in.
Yep. Absolutely. This is we'll go over DFS position by position later just to give you sort of a recap on this show. Same on some of the lines we've been talking about throughout the show as well from a wagering perspective. But this is the game that I think will be heavily stacked across every platform. You're going to see a lot of Roethlisberger, Brown on the other side, Tyreek or even Kelsey as the coming back. Or you go the other way where it's Mahomes and Tyreek. And then you have Antonio Brown or Smith-Schuster or another piece from Pittsburgh. Didn't hear, what's your overall take on Kareem Hunt? What's your overall sort of like season-long projection of Andy Reid and Kareem Hunt living in harmony in this offense with Mahomes throwing the ball a bit more? Is Kareem Hunt somebody you think sneaks, you know, RB2, RB1? Like, what's your projection for him over the course of the season?
I think he's going to be fine. Once again, it was annoying last week that he didn't have a bigger week in when they scored so many points. Probably, of course, my week in the Scott Fishbowl because I didn't get what I needed and I only lost by a couple of points. So it was frustrating. But that being said, I don't panic over 1 week. You know, it's just maybe been part of the game plan. The putting the ball through the air was working, so they weren't going to run the ball as much. You know, I'm not a big believer that I have to run the ball, or I have to pass the ball. If the other one's working, if that was the game plan going to throw the ball and it's working, you're beating the team, keep doing it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, so I think it might have been one of those games. I think Hunt will have a better game tomorrow. I do. I think they'll run him some more. I think they'll have to because it's on the road. You know, sometimes at home you want to put on a show for the fans, get them into the game. You know, so you throw the ball more. On the road, you tend to run. I think Hunt will be fine. But that's not to say I'm not a little bit worried about him.
Yep, that makes sense. I do think, again, this game is all wide open from a DFS perspective. If I'm ranking people, it's Roethlisberger. Well, it's Antonio Brown, then Roethlisberger, then give me Tyreek on the other side, Kelsey, then Mahomes, and then the running backs, Connor and Hunt in that order. I do think Connor's a must play, obviously from season long, if you have him, just from a volume perspective and what he should get in this contest. But from a DFS perspective, I think he's going to be fairly highly owned yet again, even up at $6,700. I think people love their recency bias. So you're going to see a pretty high ownership percentage on Connor across all platforms, depending on the price tag. A few minutes left here in this hour. We can start talking about the offensive juggernaut, George, that is the New York Jets. Well, maybe not offensive juggernaut. They apparently knew the plays Matthew Stafford was going to run on defense, so it led to 5 interceptions for the Jets. Jets-Miami here. Seems like a prime spot, though, for some offensive pieces, maybe not all of them. Quick here before we hit the break. Initial thoughts on this contest before we break it down after the break?
My God, one of these two teams is going to be 2-0, and if New England loses, one of them will be in first place in the AFC East. I mean, that's my initial thing. I can't believe I'm because I think Jacksonville is going to beat New England in Jacksonville. So one of these two teams will be in first place.
J-E-T-S, baby. It's going to happen. First place New York Jets after week two. Lock it up. That's going to happen. I love it. And it's going to be so downhill from there. Plenty still to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz. In the second hour, we'll open up the phone lines, 844-843-6879 for your questions, and of course, at FNTSY Radio. Back with more after this.